This is brought to you by the Jonas Podcasting Network, found exclusively at WrestlingWithJonas.com. Hello and welcome to the latest episode of Wrestling with Jonas. It's the 1st of December today. I nearly forgot that. So this is my first interview in the month of December 2023. And of course, November was a banger of the month, and I'll talk about that very, very soon. But this is episode 336. And today I've got one of the very best heavyweights coming out of South Wales, one of the very best heavyweights and prospects coming out of new No Mercy Wrestling, of course, in South Wales. Adam Carter, the heavyweight pro. Adam, how you doing, buddy?
I'm not too bad, thanks, Jonas. How are you?
Very, very good. Delighted to have you on the show. I know that we've been talking about this for a little while. We finally managed to get it done in the month of December. So we're getting ever so close to Christmas. And of course, you've got a newborn baby, 2 or 3 months old now. And you must be looking forward to Christmas immensely with your new baby here, your first Christmas with a new child in the house, a new person in the house.
Yes, and really looking forward to it. Just, you know, brought that magical side of Christmas back, I suppose, that you kind of lose as you get older, doesn't it? So it's got that, almost a child again, really, and it's all the lights and festivities and whatever. Yeah, no, I'm really looking forward to it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And just a quick reminder, I did mention that November marked 5 years of Wrestling with Jonas. I had seven tremendous interviews, including it kicked off with Tom Scarborough, renowned referee, came onto the show to kickstart our fifth anniversary celebrations at the beginning of November. We continued with Session Moth Martina, one of the best characters, one of the best performers in the UK. We had a fantastic hour-long interview. Somebody that Adam might know very well, Leon Cage, the second annual Iron Cobra champion, tournament champion. Of course, Leon was a wonderful guest, came onto the show last month, and part one of my interview with Johnny Saint, British wrestling legend Johnny Saint, and part two will be dropping in December, just before Christmas. Nico Angelo came onto the show in November, another wonderful guest, a really insightful 90-minute conversation with Nico, and then Kira Chimera was my most recent live guest last week, a wonderful chat with her, doing wonderful things, picking up gold all over the UK and Europe, an international champion. And then, of course, we had my wonderful in-car interview with Dirty Dango, former WWE star Fandango, talking about what he's up to in Impact Wrestling, all about the Fandango character debuting at WrestleMania against Chris Jericho, Breezango, and his kind of stint over here in the UK performing for Immortal Wrestling. My next live interview is next Monday, the rescheduled interview with Lana Austin. Should have been part of my November lineup. We weren't able to do that, but Lana will be live on Wrestling with Jonas on Monday, the 4th of December, 8 p.m. And then, of course, next Wednesday. I've got a busy week next week. Starts with Lana Austin, and I've got the Stallion Chris Bronson coming onto the show on Wednesday, the 6th of December. So a busy week for Jonas, Lana Austin, Chris Bronson. But today, it's all about this guy here, Adam Carter, No Mercy Wrestling. This is going to be a fun conversation, Adam, and I've seen a fair bit of you at No Mercy over the last year or so. We'll talk all about that. But the last time we bumped into one another was this show here, the sold-out Caerphilly Leisure Centre, the good, the bad, and the badass. There you are alongside Virus stablemate Dale Johnson going up against Scotty Too Hotty and Bevan. And like I say, there you are before the match. We'll show some pictures about what the two of you look like after the match. let's talk in more general terms, because we will talk about that as one of your highlights, Adam. But 2023 has been a banger of a year for you. Although we've got a month left to go, so many memories and so many highlights for you so far this year alone.
Yeah, it's, in all fairness, it's been a banging year. Wrestle people like Scotty taught you that I never in my wildest dreams thought I'd wrestle. Never thought I'd be standing the other end of the ring with Scotty Tarty and everybody else I've wrestled this year. Some really, really big names really give me the chance to sort of test myself and show how I'm coming along. So yeah, it's a year that I'm very, very thankful for.
Absolutely. I'm going to bring up that picture one more time because it's one of the featured matches at No Mercy Wrestling's most recent show from the Carefully Leisure Centre, the 12th of November. I was there. It was a tremendous show. I think the show started maybe 20 minutes to half an hour late because of the amount of people that are filing around the Leisure Centre waiting to get in. But when that match was first announced and it was announced that you were going to be teaming with Dale to go up against Bevan and Scotty Too Hotty, no less, the fan inside you, the inner fan inside you, must have been doing cartwheels.
Oh, big time. Like, Scotty Too Hotty was somebody, like, a lot of people I grew up watching, you know, The Whim. That's all you have to really mention with Scott, you know. I still haven't quite got my head around it. It was crazy. Like, that little child that was watching Scotty Too Hotty, God knows how many years ago, would never in his wildest dreams believe if somebody told him he'd be standing at the other end of the ring from him in X amount of years' time, I would have told him they're lying. So, yeah, no, that was insane. I've got no words for it, really. That was just a memory I'll definitely cherish for a lifetime, really.
Absolutely. And in the lead up to that match, Danny, in the days and maybe the hours leading up to that match, where was your head at? Because this had to be probably the biggest or one of the very biggest matches of your career so far. Yeah. Like you say, standing across the ring from Scotty Too Hotty, you will have seen him growing up on the TV, of course. Yeah. But I mean, where was your head at? I mean, I'm guessing that there was some nerves or maybe some doubt. But what were you thinking? Where was your head at kind of leading into that match?
Oh, there was definitely some nerves. I try my best to kind of not so much disconnect myself from the match, but not really give it much thought until the day. So I don't have that chance to kind of get nervous. On the day, the nerves definitely hit, especially waiting up in the morning, getting everything ready, getting ready to leave, the drive there. The times you've got time to kind of think over things and have time to think to yourself, that that's definitely when the nerves started to hit and I really started to feel it.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's bring up some pictures from the day. And there you are before the match, looking ready. Dale Johnson certainly looking ready there. There you are on your entrance. And like I say, a big menacing presence that you provide standing across the ring from anybody. I'm sure even Scotty felt that. But there you are having a little bit of a face-to-face with Scotty. I think there was some shenanigans with his hat. And Scotty came prepared with a Welsh flagged hat.
Oh, yeah.
And telling you exactly what he thought of you there. There you are, putting the beat down on Bevan, of course. But unfortunately, after the match, and I have to say, you know, being the bearer of bad news here, Dale Johnson did unfortunately have to take the worm from Scotty Too Hotty, the most devastating finisher he's probably ever taken. What do you remember about that match? Because I was there, I saw it, the crowd were loud and very, very lively. But what are your memories of that match in particular?
Oh, I feel like I learned loads in that match, though. Definitely from Scotty, how to work a crowd. I've timed it from the minute he got tagged in, the minute we'd done absolutely anything to our first lockup, there was some like 8 minutes where, like I said to him in the ring, he must be an absolute nightmare at bedtime. Getting ready for bed, he must go to bed at 6 to get ready to get into bed at 9.
He's hyper, isn't he? And he loves that
on
crowd
another
interaction.
Level.
He loves that crowd interaction for sure. What else do you remember from that one?
Like, a big memory that stuck out. It wasn't actually any part of the physicality side of the match. It was one that will actually live with me forever. Is he was walking around the ring, and I turned my back for all of 2 seconds, turned back around, and he had a baby in his hands, and he was holding him up, something like a Lion King, really. I looked, I went, hang on, he's got my child in his hands. So there's photos of him just holding my child up. That's insane.
See that one there?
That's the one. she wasn't a fan by the looks of it.
No, certainly not, please. Absolutely. But, you know, a lot of fun. I think that was during the intermission, wasn't it? And like I say, just... Yeah. picked up this job.
And he done it on the way to the ring as well. So, yeah.
On the way to the ring as well. But when Scotty came backstage, he came up to me and was going through his phone and showed me that picture. And I said, oh, Scotty, I didn't know you had grandkids. He goes, don't be stupid, John. It's a baby from the guy I just wrestled. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think you were 100% going into that match, were you? Did you do yourself a mischief during the seminar?
Possibly.
What happened?
Well, so we were doing a seminar with Scotty Doherty. It was literally the first thing we done, just running the ropes. I'd done the first round of running the ropes, absolutely fine, just nothing you really think about. Got into the second lot, went to take off my foot to start running, and just felt a pull in my calf. And I thought, well, this feels a bit weird. It was different. I thought, I'll just soldier on. So I kind of got to be okay in a match in however many hours. And the more running I'd done, the more and more I could feel it pulling, and I just couldn't put weight on it. So it turns out I'd tore my calf. So
damn.
The medic done an absolute amazing job with me after that.
Yeah, I had a few conversations with the medic during the show, and he looked after you before that match. Was it touch and go that you're actually going to be in that match? I mean, how bad was it?
I don't think so. It's not so much touch and go, but I like to kind of just soldier on. There was no chance I was sort of sitting out in that match. There was not a chance in hell that was ever going to happen. I was feeling if I did say for whatever reason, look, I can't wrestle, I can't put any weight on my leg, that opportunity might never have come again. So it was kind of one of them once in a lifetime kind of things. There was no point I was pulling out. It was just a matter of strap me up, give me some tablets, take the pain away for a bit, and I'll deal with the consequences later then.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't think you showed any signs of any discomfort or being injured during that match.
Yeah.
So, like I say, when you're in there, when the adrenaline's going, and when Scotty Too Hot is giving you the middle finger, I suppose all thoughts of any sort of injury goes out the window, and you go into autopilot.
Exactly that.
But I mean, you said earlier that the inner fan in you must have been doing cartwheels and could never have kind of dreamt that you would have been in there with somebody like a WWE legend, Scotty Too Hot. Like I say, that's kind of a moment to be proud of for the rest of your career, for the rest of your life, really, and something that you'll be reminding your daughter of for many, many years.
Absolutely, yeah. She's got absolutely no idea how special that moment was. So I'll definitely be reminding her of that. And I think that photo of him holding her will probably be on her 18th birthday cake. So that's going to be the embarrassing photo I post every year.
That's it. She'll always remember who Scotty Too Hot is thanks to that photo there.
Exactly.
Absolutely brilliant. But besides it being kind of your big night, the good, the bad, and the badass from the Care Philly Leisure Centre, it seemed to be a very memorable occasion, a very memorable night for your stablemates, for the stable of the Virus. And I've got some photos here. I mean, from backstage interviews with me and Dale Johnson, still suffering the effects of the worm there, quite clearly. You're having to kind of hold him up there or carry him on your back. There we are, Tom Ferryman and MJ Grayson after their match. They were successful. They were victorious. And then, of course, the four of you and poor Dale Johnson.
He was suffering all day.
Really suffering. The worm really did get the better of him and that match. But, tell us a bit about the Virus, because they've recently come onto my radar over the last couple of months. It's a faction that I think has formed since the summer. I think it kind of builds off of MJ Grayson's kind of former partnership with Wesker. Tell us about how you got involved and how the Virus formed. Tell us about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, as you said, the Virus, just four wrestlers put together, all with, I suppose, different styles, really. MJ Grayson being the leader, the absolute, best leader we can have, really. I joined, they wanted a bit more powerhouse behind them. So, you know, who better to ask than myself? I suppose up until that point, I had actually, well, I like to think I proved myself. Had wins over people like KM Lane, Harrison Bennett, Kelly Sex, Kenny Mantra. So, you know, it was inevitable, really. Like, what else were they gonna look for a powerhouse that was on a bit of a winning streak, really?
Yeah, yeah. And what did the virus stand for? Because when you kind of hear the name, it sounds kind of like, say, a virus, poisonous, kind of, you know. What does the virus kind of stand for? What does it mean? And kind of what are their objectives or goals as a faction? Do you know?
So we just want to fight our way through the No Mercy roster, really. Like, MJ Grayson has got his thing going on with Uweska. But yeah, we're just four men that love a fight, and there's no more to it, really. We just want to fight our way through the roster and look and enjoying it whilst we're doing it, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell us a bit about the other two, because I haven't spoken too much on this show in the past about Dale Johnson and Tom Ferriman, who I met at other previous No Mercy shows. But what do they offer the virus, and kind of what sort of opposition do they offer any opponents that stand in front of them? Tell us a bit about Dale and Tom.
Yeah, so as I said, we all got different styles, really. So you got Dale, who is, he's unreal, and I don't think he quite realizes how good he is. Quick, powerful, he's got it all, I think. And you got Tom, who, again, I know Tom very well. We've trained together for years, and he is somebody who is very underrated, and I really, really don't think he understands how good he is. He's another one who loves a fight, loves a bit of a brawl, and will do absolutely anything to get a win, really. And I respect that of him. As I say, we're good friends, so me and Tom know each other very, very well. So I think that really, really helps us in the virus, having that connection, really having that friendship.
Good point. Having this kind of bond, having this kind of relationship for however long. I know that Tom, I think, started at around the same time as you, or possibly one of your first ever opponents. But we'll talk all about that. Yeah. But I mean, the four of you combined as a unit, from what I saw a couple of Sundays back anyway. But you mentioned it earlier, some of the matches you've had in 2023. And 2023 has been a banger of a year for you, not just being opposite ends of the ring to Scotty Too Hotty, but you mentioned, you know, Kenny Mantra and Kelly Six. You know, in that triple threat, two phenomenal opponents. And I think, did you get the better of those two? Did you go over in that match?
I did, yeah. I got the pin. So it was a three-way dance, obviously, elimination rules. And I got the win on both of them that night. Again, a hard-fought match. Like, Kenny Mantra is a brilliant talent. Kelly Six, got to be one of the best in Britain. He's got such a creative mind. It's you just don't know what he's going to do next. So very proud of that win. Very, very proud.
Absolutely. And you mentioned Harrison Bennett, and you had a match with him in a No Mercy ring. Not quite sure what you're doing in this picture. It looks like you're snapping something. What are you doing in that picture, Adam?
So I wrestled Shane Hooker in, I think it was my second or my third match back after taking a little break. He called me a plank on social media. So I wrestled him in Penrhyn Hall in front of his family, friends, fans. And ever since that day, they've hounded me down, called me a plank every time I wrestle. Not just on No Mercy, wherever I go, it's mostly his dad's there, call me a plank. He's got friends, fans, they've all that. So they got a plank of wood and drew me on it, I suppose. And that's been brought to many a shows. And I just saw my opportunity and got rid of it.
I think Terry Hooker actually got in touch with us or dropped a comment to one of the posts. How you killed Planky. So I think that's exactly the story, isn't it? You've added some context to it there.
Yeah, well, I was hoping to kill the planktrans after that, but no, he's still there every show, follow me wherever I go, call me a plank every chance he gets.
There we go. There we go. But we spoke a bit about Harrison Bennett, and another one of the very best, finest pros in the UK, out of South Wales, legitimately, say, one of the best pros anywhere. But were you kind of handily... I'm pretty sure you defeated Harrison Bennett as well. So this has kind of been a bit of a hot streak of yours in 2023. And I'd say Harrison Bennett kind of suffered at the hands of the heavyweight pro.
Yeah, and again, another dream match of mine, a match I've been looking for years, pretty much since I started wrestling, to be honest. So Harrison Bennett was somebody who... So I got into the indie kind of scene quite late on. I was all very much, you know, the main scene, WTNA, things like that. And then a friend got me into the indie scene, and Harrison Bennett, or Beano as he was at the time, was somebody who... He was, as you said just now, he was the best pretty much wherever you put him. And that was a match that was definitely on my radar, definitely one I've wanted for very, very long. And another hard-fought match.
Absolutely. And another one I want to kind of bring up and talk about. Now, let me just refer to my notes here to make sure. And it was this one here. It was a triple threat. Was it a tables elimination match or a tables match between yourself, Devin, and Tom Ferriman once again? Here we go. So it's kind of like almost in slow-mo footage here as you go crashing through the table. And poor Adam Carter, absolutely buried by the end of it underneath that bit of wood. Talk about Mr. Terry Hooker and Planky. You're kind of buried there underneath.
Just a bit.
So, I mean, that match looked not necessarily violent, but kind of hard-hitting. I mean, let's put it this way. You're in there with Bevan and Tom Ferriman.
Yeah.
Two guys like to hit hard, like to get hit hard. And that match didn't look any different. And certainly the table spots looked pretty painful. What are your recollections of that one?
Yeah, so that was a three-way dance tables match. So same rules, obviously, a three-way dance, so elimination, obviously tables, table rules. That match was, I'd like to say, very fun, because I was in there, as you said, with Tom Ferriman and Bevan, who hit hard and don't mind getting hit hard back, and they will give as good as they get, and that's what I like. I like to be in there with somebody who, if I'm gonna hit them hard, they'll hit me hard back, and we've got a bit of a scrap going on. But that show was pretty special, to be fair. It was a packed out crowd, absolutely loud, in Bevan's hometown. And they made me aware that I was in his hometown. And it was also a fun night because it was a night I actually joined the virus.
There you go.
Yeah. A night of action that night.
There we go. And like I say, you didn't come out on top in that match.
No.
But you have had a lot of fun in 2023. I think you did have a wonderful match against KM Lane and Wesker as well. One of your most recent matches, I think that's probably about October. And of course, you would have been a member of the virus by then. And going up against Wesker, MJ Grayson's kind of bitter rival, bitter enemy. Tell us about that one, because he's another big boy, isn't he? And obviously had a lot to prove, a bit of a bee in his bonnet, especially with you aligning yourself with his former tag team partner. But how was it to go in there with Wesker?
I enjoyed that, because a lot of my matches have been with smaller people. Smaller people. But obviously he's my size, two heavyweights. And that's all I want. I just want to have a good heavyweight scrap with people. And that is exactly what that was. Like, I think we hammered seven bells of shit out of each other in that match. And that's something I enjoy. It was so much fun. And I would do it again in a heartbeat.
Yeah, 100%. Let's just jump to some questions. And of course, we are live on Facebook Live, on YouTube, Twitch, I think we're now streaming on X as well. So, YouTube, get in touch with us. Send us your questions using your chosen device. We'll do our very best to bring them up during the course of this interview. Now, let me just refer to Facebook, because this one won't come up with a name. But we've got a Dan Ellis who sent this one through. Don't know if Dan's too familiar with you. Your daughter is now more famous than Adam Carter PW. I think you alluded to it earlier, but there you go.
Dan, oh, yeah, she's been over in social media. She's been on Instagram, posts, Instagram stories, Facebook. I think I looked at one of them, and, like, again, the inner fan in me came out. I was looking at the different likes on it. I thought, I seen Matt Hardy on there. I thought, oh, this is a bit something different than it.
There we go. And we've got
definitely more famous than me.
We've got a Keris Lee who says, "Did you go through a door too? Tell us about that, because I don't have them that footage down here. Tell us a bit about going through a door."
Oh, there's definitely footage. Definitely memories of going through that door. So, yeah, so that was the same night I wrestled Wesker. Obviously, didn't come out on top on that match. Although I like to think I did. That's a different story we'll get onto a little bit later on. But then I had a match at the end for the No Mercy Championship. It caught my leader, I suppose, MJ Grayson, going up a ladder. Nobody else was in the ring. I thought I'd give him a helping hand. I went out, tried to climb the ladder with him. Bevan came up behind me. Had a bit of a scrap, ended up out in the apron, and he picks at a door from somewhere, as you do. It was either me or him going through it, and unfortunately on that night it was me. Yeah, I went through a door that night as well. So in a space of, it must have been about a week, 2 weeks, I went through a table and a door. So an eventful couple of weeks for definite.
I do remember seeing that footage now, and it did look painful because going through a door is one thing, and then I think you kind of crash landed quite heavily onto the concrete on the outside of the ring as well. Not too pleasant, but I do remember seeing that clip, and it looked as painful as hell. But
there's definitely no giving that floor.
But keep sending your questions through. We'll do our very best to answer them during the course of the week. We've had a couple more. I will get to them at the right time. I think Chris Bevan's even sent through a question. So, Chris, Bevan, I will get to yours for sure. But full transparency, I think the first time you came onto my radar was, I think there was a gauntlet match for the No Mercy Combat Legacy Championship. Now, this would have been, maybe August last year. It's a fantastic five-way match, or a gauntlet match involving five fantastic talents. We'll talk about that in a minute, but just a bit before that, I think you kind of came back onto the wrestling scene with No Mercy a couple of months prior as part of the Iron Cobra tournament 2022. Tell us a bit about coming back, because you were in the business early on, 2018, 2019, out of the business. Obviously, the pandemic was kind of in the middle of that as well. But coming back when you did in the middle of 2022 to be a part of that Iron Cobra tournament, tell us a bit about that comeback and what the inspiration was, what the motivation was behind coming back after, 3 years away?
Yeah, it must have been at least, including the pandemic, 3 years, So I pretty much returned. So, as you say, Bevan opened No Mercy and asked me if I want to go down training. So I thought, you know what, there's nothing to lose. Why not? We'll go down, have a couple of sessions, see if I can get the bug back for the itch. A couple of sessions, and he told me he was putting on a couple of shows. I thought, oh, that's fair play. I'll go down, I'll help crew and whatever. He said, no, there's a rumble on pre-show. How do you fancy being in it? And I thought, you know, I think to really test myself and see if I actually want to give this another try, then what better way than just throw myself into a match and see how it goes. That rumble was my first match back in probably, as you said, about 3 years. Mentally kind of, like I say, mentally tough in a sense, to get myself back into that frame of mind, back in the ring, back in front of a crowd. But I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I never officially said I was coming. I'd come back, but a year and a half later, I suppose, I was still going. So yeah, I suppose I'm back, I suppose.
Absolutely. I suppose, you know, after being out for nearly four years, I suppose, coming back, I mean, firstly, did it take a lot of convincing? And kind of where was your head at when you did decide to come back? Was there some doubts? Was there an element of concern that you might not be able to get back to the level you were before? Kind of where was your head at before entering the Iron Cobra?
Yeah, it wasn't. The convincing side of it was easy. He asked me if I wanted to do it. I thought, you know what, why not? Let's get back into the swing of things. But yeah, it was mentally, it was tough because I had to see if I still had it, see if I could remember all the things I was trained, like, as you say, 3 years prior to that. And just being that feeling of being out in front of a crowd again, like I hadn't done it in 3 years. So I almost forgot how it felt and how good it feels to be out in front of a crowd and the cheers, the boos, the whatever else, the shenanigans that go on. So yeah, it mentally was quite tough, quite challenging. But no, once I was in there, it's like riding a bike, and it all comes swimming back. Yeah, it all comes swimming back. And obviously on that night, the first round of the Iron Cobra, or the first Iron Cobra tournament, I had Ethan Thomas, which must have remembered everything because I picked up the win, so I must have done something, right?
Yeah, and you had Shane Hooker in the semi-final, is that right?
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
What do you remember about that match? Because I think Shane would have been fairly new to the business about then. You would have been kind of, you know, that would have been your second match back, not including the pre-match rumble back in March. But what are your recollections of that? Because, like I say, Shane, unfortunately, out with an injury at the moment, hoping to see him back as good as ever in 2024. But he was firing on all cylinders in that tournament. He went on to win it. And you were one of the victims in the semi-final.
Yeah, that match. Honestly, I don't think I've ever had a crowd. And it's not the biggest crowd in Penrith, but it's not a massive hall, but I've never heard a crowd cheer somebody and boo somebody else so loud before or prior to that. They are definitely, obviously, loyal fans. They've got family, friends there. That match was one of my favourites so far. I think it was Shane's probably second or third match as well going into it. Yeah. So he was still fresh. He was still very, very new to the business. And just to go toe-to-toe with him and throw him around and beat him up a bit. But obviously took my eye off the ball. You've probably got photos of it somewhere of me and his dad having a bit of a confrontation. And he picked up the win. But and he, as you say, eventually went on to win it. I could do on the night, it just wasn't my night. But you know, I'd like to say move on to bigger and better things, but Shane's doing wonderful things, in all fairness to him. When he comes back from his injury, I'm sure he'll carry that on.
Absolutely. And I mean, the show where he actually went on to win the very first Iron Cobra tournament was the same show that had this match on it. And I mentioned to you 5 or 10 minutes ago, this was the match, this was the show where you came onto my radar. And it was that 5-person gauntlet match. I think you really stood out as this kind of breakout star during that match. And I'm just going to bring up that poster again because you had a fantastic outing against Jimmy Taylor and against Big Guns Joe and even against, you know, Danny Jones, in all fairness. I think he certainly felt what it was like to be in there with the heavyweight pro Adam Carter. But in my opinion, that was a breakout match for you. And I think it opened a lot of people's eyes as to what you're all about, your size, your strength, even your agility. You know, for a big man, you can move around that ring for sure. What are your memories of that one? Because that was the one that really kind of put you on my radar for sure.
Yeah, that match was very, very tough. Obviously, fond memories of it. I was in there with people like, at the time, Big Guns Joe, Danny Jones, James Ellis, Jimmy Taylor. And I pretty much, up until obviously the last the match with Danny Jones, ran the gauntlet really. Physically and mentally tough for that match. So tough.
Is it because of the length of time you were out there and the amount of opponents you had to kind of go through? Was it just draining experience because of the type of match it was?
Yeah, I think so. And like in my head, I think everybody that came out, like we started with Jimmy Taylor, I think I Big Guns Jones and Danny Jones, we just went up a level. Almost every new person that came out, to the point where there was a point in that match where Danny Jones's entrance music hit. And honestly, I couldn't even recognize the music at one point. I was that tired. So it's a lot of people have said I kind of stood out in that match, and I was almost my breakout match, I suppose. But it's a match that I'm proud of, obviously, of being in there with those people. But it's a match I think I probably could have, I could have done better. And I probably was my best, probably due to being so tired in the last match, to be honest. So another one with Danny Jones is another one I'd love to run back at some point just to kind of prove myself, really. Yeah. And I've said that to many, many people since that match. I definitely couldn't have done better than that match.
Well, I mean, you know, you give yourself credit, because I think that was the one that kind of, you know, put you on a lot of people's radar and opened a lot of eyes as to what you were capable of. And I think you did, you know, an awesome job being so early into your return as well, still trying to kind of find your feet. But that match would have been exhausting for pretty much anybody, let alone having to go through three opponents. And I mean, let's kind of hypothesize here, and let's kind of fantasy book, if you were to go against Danny Jones again, knowing what you know now, more than a year down the line, what sort of a match do you think you would provide or put in? What sort of a match do you think Danny Jones would get from you?
I think it'd be a lot closer, a lot more competitive. Like obviously he was my third match on that gauntlet, so I was, as I say, very tired.
Yeah.
Physically, mentally drained at that point. So I think it'd be a lot different. Even the result possibly being different. It'd be a much better, much more competitive match, I think. And a match, as I say, I would love to have, and I've been kind of calling for as well, really. Or been asking for. So yeah, definitely a match that I would like to have passed in 2024, really.
Where do you think you've improved the most in that year between that gauntlet match, say, and your most recent match at the Good, the Bad and the Badass against Bevan and Scotty Tuohy? Do you feel that you've grown and improved as an overall performer, athlete, wrestler? Where do you think your strengths have kind of got better over that 12 months?
Yeah, and I think you kind of touched on it a little bit just now. And like my agility for a big person, I don't like to blow my own trumpet, but I like to think I move quite well for a big person. So I've definitely improved in that area, but also like I can't like really word it, but more like my wrestling IQ, I think, like being in there, not trying silly things for a big person. Sticking to what I know best, and ultimately getting a win and being on a winning streak this year.
Absolutely. I want to talk about one more match from last year. One more match, and I'm sure it's a match that would definitely stand out in your memory. What a match to kind of end 2022 on, against Martin Kirby at their Christmas show, Cobra Kyber Christmas. And let's be honest, Martin Kirby, been on the scene, 16, 17 years, considered one of the very best pros in the UK. And you talk about kind of match level going up and up and up for every opponent that comes your way. 2022 couldn't have ended with kind of a harder or more experienced opponent. I'm guessing for yourself, not only a fantastic experience, but a great learning experience as well. But what do you remember about that one?
Oh, definitely a learning experience. He's, as you say, he's got 17, 18 years experience on me and knows this business inside out. And somebody I would absolutely share the ring with again. I'd be absolutely honoured to as well. That match, one main thing I remember from that was that venue was absolutely freezing. I think we could see our own breath going out there. It was horrendous. It was one of the only times I've been thankful for wearing a singlet, because I had more clothes on to keep me warm. yeah, absolutely freezing that day. But no, that match, definitely a dream match, definitely something that I've never thought I'd ever have. One of those matches, as I said, like Scotty Too Hearty, one of those where I've watched them for years and years, never thought I'd be the other side of the ring with them, and there it was.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. A real pinch yourself moment, a real bucket list.
Definitely.
Match. You seem to be ticking off these bucket list matches, like I say, with you know, speed, my friends. But we know you're a big guy. You call yourself the heavyweight pro. You do have the agility there as well. But what are you kind of coming at the moment? How tall and how much do you weigh currently, Adam?
I'm 6'2" and around about 114 kilos at the moment, 115 kilos.
Wow. And yeah. I mean, did you ever, like, a sporting background growing up? Was you like a rugby boy? I know that's obviously the big sport over in Wales. Yeah. Was rugby your game when you were growing up as a teenager?
Yeah, rugby was definitely when I played from, I couldn't even think of the age it was. I was definitely played it for about 10, 11 years. Every weekend, just I loved playing rugby. The physicality of it, the friendship of it, all of it is just, rugby was definitely my sport growing up. Then I had a bit of a break from all kind of sports. Almost let my weight get the best of me, I suppose, and grow a bit big. And then got into boxing then, probably about 2014, I want to say, 2015. Done that for about 2 years. Thoroughly enjoyed that. The best experience I've had, again, out in front of a crowd. Boxing fans, you just don't know what you're going to get with them. And then, yeah, it was straight into wrestling. And but I've done running as well. I've done like half marathons. I used to train down a gym called The Warehouse, which is all high intensity training. Some of the absolute fittest people I've met in there. And the best people to be around with to give you that kind of mindset to be the best, or to be your best, really. And if you've got a goal, they'll drive you to hit it. And hands down, the best gym I've trained in, I think.
Yeah. Would they be partially responsible? Because I mentioned earlier, or before we went live, you kind of had this massive kind of weight loss transformation, didn't you? And I think over how many years it was, but I'm going to bring a picture here. And I think you mentioned in quite an old Instagram post, this was probably from 2018, that you lost about 10 stone from that first picture over on the left to the other two. What was the kind of motivation behind that massive kind of weight loss transformation? Was it getting into sports? Was it hitting the gym? Tell us a bit about the motivation behind that.
It was more that I wanted to do it for myself. So I'd always been, growing up, I've always been a big person. I've always been quite broad, overweight. Got bullied in school for it, you know, the usual kind of stuff when you kind of overweight, I suppose. And then I got to a point where I tried to lose weight previously before that, and I was almost doing it to stop people kind of bullying me, or to give them something less to kind of point at, I suppose. And then I realized that the thing that got me really losing weight was actually wanting to do it for myself, to keep myself healthy. Like with a baby now, when she gets older, to actually be able to run around with her, go out to the park with her, with things like that. So that was kind of my motivation, really. The gym I mentioned would have, and boxing was 100% go towards it. That's how I lost majority of the weight.
Yeah. Very, very inspiring indeed. But skipping back even further, and I want to find out, I mean, we spoke about your love for rugby and your love for boxing, but pro wrestling, did that come into your life early on? Have you been a lifelong fan? Do you remember how pro wrestling first came into your life and what sort of impact it had on you?
Yeah, everyone remembers like their first match they've seen or whatever. I can't remember the match. I remember it being an episode of Raw, a very old episode of Raw. And it just kind of came on the TV. I was probably watching Sky Sports. It popped up, and I thought, I'll just leave it on. I was absolutely mesmerised by it. You know, the athleticism of it, the showmanship, all of it, really. And it absolutely got me hooked. The first pay-per-view I remember, I think, was WrestleMania 17, I want to say.
Oh, good WrestleMania. One of the best.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And what an introduction.
Exactly. And I remember, I think the first wrestling videotape I had, that's how long ago it was there was one in London years ago, like Rebellion or Vengeance. It was one of them. I just remember there being a cage match in it. I can't remember if it was Stone Cold and The Rock or Triple H and The Rock. The Rock was definitely in it, and that just hooked me. There was everything in it. And even at a young age, there was a bit of blood in there as well, but just, I think I just added to it, to be honest.
Yeah. And were there any kind of larger-than-life characters, superstars, wrestlers that kind of really stood out to you and maybe inspired you? Who were some of your favourites at the time?
Yeah, it probably sounds a bit kind of cliche, really, but like The Rock would definitely stood out and still does. He's still a favourite of mine. You got your Triple H's, The Undertakers, and then you had John Cena coming up. So yeah, pretty much the main ones, the main popular ones that everyone kind of clung to. But yeah, they were my favourite. They were the ones who stand out, and the ones I could, and like the Eddie Guerrero's as well. They were definitely ones that stood out to me, and the ones I would always remember, always try out their moves on, like on a mattress or something, or in the garden on the trampoline. The usual stuff you do as a kid and a teenager. Yeah, definitely probably those four or five.
Yeah. I want to talk about your kind of early start, your early beginnings in pro wrestling. It does bring us to a question that came through earlier. Now, Bevan did get in touch with the show. Hopefully you're still watching, Bevan, but he did ask, how did you start in wrestling, and did you have another gimmick before the heavyweight pro? So, what kind of inspired you to want to kind of lace up them boots and start your training? Obviously, you're a big fan. You're a sporty guy. You know, you've got the size. Kind of inspired you to commence your training? Bevan wants to know if you had another gimmick back in your early career.
Definitely had another gimmick. What got me into wrestling was I went to, as I said earlier, a couple of indie shows. I remember my first one. It was an Attack Pro Wrestling, Chris Travis Tag Team Invitational in Cates, a weekend, and me and my friend went, and that was my first ever indie show I went to, and it was just something different, like the atmosphere of an indie show. In a small hall, as opposed to, you know, like you got your Motor Point Arenas where WWE come out. It was so much different, a lot more intimate, I suppose. And I thought, you know, I really want to give that a go. Like, why not? My friend wasn't really interested in actually wrestling. He wanted to stay on the other side of the barrier and watch it. But I thought, you know what? I'm not going on my own then. Just sounds a bit stupid. And then I remember being in the gym, and an old, like my first trainer caught me. I was like, oh, I was wearing a wrestling t-shirt at the time. He was like, oh, you looking to start wrestling? I thought, do you know what? Yeah, why not? If it's, because the closest one of the time that I could think of was in Cardiff, and that was Dragon Pro, or what is New Wave now. I thought, do you know what? Yeah, why not? It took me a couple of weeks to actually pluck up the courage to go down. Started training from there then. I know exactly what Bevan's alluding to. I had an old gimmick called the Cardio King.
I'm going to stop you there. Was it this guy here by any chance?
That's me. Yeah, that's definitely me.
The Cardio King, is that right?
that's the one.
Tell us a bit about that gimmick then, because an Adam Carter you probably wouldn't recognize if you can, you know, put him side by side with the Adam Carter of 2023. Tell us a bit about that character, because he looks a bit different, different gear and a different nickname as well, the Cardio King. Tell us about that.
I think the less said about that gimmick, the better, I think. it was something, so the people who know me will know that I talk a lot. Half of it, I talk a lot of nonsense. So when I was in boxing, I was called the conversation killer, or CK. And I thought, it was coming up to my debut, my very, very first match. And I thought, right, what can I, like, I need a name of something. I needed a title. I thought, what can I have? And I was thinking to this CK, and I thought, can I change that to anything? And I was, at the time, I was probably the fittest person in training. Like, I remember once I'd done a half marathon, Swansea half marathon, and then went to train straight after it. So I was one of the fittest people, if not the fittest person in training. And I thought, you know what, Cardio King, kind of, that fits. Why not? We'll go with that. And that was, I think that was after I lost my 10 stone, or I was definitely coming to the end of losing my 10 stone. I must have been about 8 or 9 stone down by that point. So I was standing up, but I still didn't have that confidence of wrestling with no top on, nothing covering the upper half. So I thought, I'll wear a t-shirt. And I thought, you can't wear a t-shirt. It has to be, you know, a bit jazzy. So tassels it was. And like, look, tights, yeah. Thanks, Jonas.
Ever reliable to bring up the embarrassing photos. Don't worry about that. Ever reliable. You called yourself the Cardio King for a reason, and the agility. I mean, I've seen some of your posts and doing a senton over the top rope and doing a flying elbow off of a table, you know, proper Cactus Jack style. So you were kind of, very agile for a big guy back then, demonstrating clearly why you were the Cardio King. And so we can talk about you being an agile big guy, but I don't think you do some of the moves that you used to do back then.
No, and like, I think touching on what I said earlier, really, I've kind of learned what to kind of, like, again, my rest IQ, but I've kind of learned what to stick at now, do what I know best, and stay on my feet, and I keep my feet on the ground. So same for me. I know that's what I'm good at. So yeah, no, I've knocked them on the head now. Nothing with my feet comes off the floor normally.
Sensible move, sensible man. Sure. You did have a bit of success, and look at you there with your very first championship bout there, looking very, very pleased backstage. And you did look after the bout very, very well. You took great care of that bout.
Everywhere in the
car seat there. But you must have been pretty proud to have picked up a little bit of gold there early on in your career. Yeah. Tell us about that championship.
Yeah, I mean, if you're gonna have a belt, you've got to look after it, take it places, really. Exactly. Yeah, no, that one was a tough match when I won it. So it was that was a triple threat match. Funny enough, I had Bevan in it and a guy who I'm good friends with and used to wrestle called the Flying Grayson. Triple threat match, but it was, so what a lot of people didn't know. And you could probably see in that photo, I looked ill in that photo, deathly thin. But 5 days prior to that, I'd been in hospital for two weeks and probably lost 1.5 stone, 2 stone just in those 2 weeks, just because of how ill I was. I couldn't eat. So what happened was I had gallstones and pancreatitis, which put me into hospital. I knew I had the match coming up. And begged to be in it, really. I that's, again, another opportunity I didn't want to miss out on, and another match I didn't want to miss out on. So I decided 5 days out of hospital, that would be a great idea to wrestle a triple threat match for a title 5 days later. Managed to get the win. A very tough match, but one I was very, very happy with.
Yeah. And having spoken to you before we went live, I know that you kind of stopped wrestling before the end of 2019. So, not even into 2020, but before the end of 2019, came back for No Mercy at that pre-match rumble in March 2022. And then, of course, you entered the Iron Cobra tournament. But there was that gap there.
Yeah.
How come you left the business the first time round back in 2019?
So the main reason was I needed, as I said, I was ill. I had pancreatitis, gallstones and whatever, and I needed surgery to remove my gallbladder. So that was like the first thing that stopped me, or what that I had to stop for. But around that time, I was paying off my wedding, things like that. So essentially just other priorities, and kind of just fell out of love with wrestling a little bit at the time.
Yeah.
And just needed to kind of step away and see if I'd ever come back, and see if I'd ever get the bug back again, which luckily I did, because otherwise I wouldn't be speaking to you now. But
yeah,
no, that was the main reasons. I was out for, as you said, earlier, about 3 years, but obviously pandemic was most of that. That was the main reasons as to why.
Yeah, absolutely. And during the pandemic, obviously, you'd already kind of moved out of wrestling the year before. But that year and a half when the UK wrestling business was all shut down, did it give you kind of time to kind of think and reflect about your short career beforehand and whether you'd like to come back? I know that Bevan obviously spoke to you in 2022 and asked you to come back, and you did. But did that give you a bit of time to think and reflect on your career and, you know, whether you'd like to return? Did that kind of partially give you the itch to come back? Where was your mind at during that year and a half when everything was closed down?
Yeah, it definitely gave me time to question whether I wanted to come back. I tried not to give it too much thought. As I said, I kind of fell out with love with wrestling. Still watched it. Still would be an avid fan of it. Watched it semi-regularly. But I never really kind of questioned going back, really. Until as you say, Bevan opened No Mercy, and I thought, you know what, I'll go down and have kind of a roll around and train. That's the main one that gave me the bug back. But yeah, no, in that kind of year and a half of the pandemic, I never really gave it a lot of thought, to be honest. Put it to the back of my mind. I thought, you know what, wrestling's probably something I'm not going to go back to. No point giving it much thought. I'll just take on this side of the barricades. And being avid fun and enjoy that way, but no, wrestling had other ideas and pulled me back in.
Yeah, no, we're all very glad that Bevan had that conversation with you and brought you back. And like I say, a year and a half after that, you know, you're on this show. We're talking about some wonderful matches, some wonderful opponents. But I understand that. Now, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think you also have a bigger role to play within No Mercy. Are you part of their training setup as well? Because they've got a little training school there as well. Do you help out with some of those sessions? Tell us a bit about that.
I don't take training or anything. I'm not a trainer in any stretch of imagination. But I'm definitely a regular there. The only time I've missed time off training is the past probably 3 weeks when I've been injured. I went back last week and had a bit of a run around, bit of a roll around. Yeah, no, not a trainer, but definitely a regular. Hopefully everyone knows my face now anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. But like I say, obviously a very trusted face. I'm sure people come up to you wanting your feedback and ideas. But in my role out in the indies, I do backstage interviews, backstage promos, create content for all these wonderful promotions, including No Mercy. And I know that on the three occasions that I've worked for No Mercy, you've done your fair share of promos with me. How would you kind of class yourself as a promo guy, as a backstage interview guy? Is it something you enjoy or something that you're trying to kind of get better at or improve at? Because I've noticed an improvement in each of the three interviews I've done with you. How about yourself?
Yeah, no, that is definitely a the part of mine that I really need to improve on is talking. I'm not a big talker in front of a camera. Other people will say otherwise in training. That probably can't shut me up, but yeah, no. put a camera in front of my face and I kind of freeze a little bit. But no, it's definitely something I'm trying to get better at. And it's really good that you've noticed the change and improvement in the three interviews I've done with yourself.
100%. And like I say, this one being the most recent one, I think you did a lot more talking than Dale Johnson, for sure. That was really, really fun.
Dale was a bit out of it there. The worm really, really done him dirty. Didn't know where he was. Poor bloke didn't even know if he'd won or lost.
we've spoke a lot about No Mercy, but I know that you've got a relationship with Carnage as well, Pro Wrestling Carnage, and you've worked times with Pro Wrestling Carnage. Tell us a little bit about your journey with Pro Wrestling Carnage, because I think you've had a few outings for them as well, possibly 2022, 2023, and another fun kind of company on the rise coming out of South Wales that you've got a bit of experience with.
Yeah, Carnage is another promotion that I love wrestling on with Carnage. They've got great backstage kind of atmosphere, everyone gets along. I love Carnage. And as I say, I started in 2022, I want to say. October, I think it was. It was a Halloween show. It was in a tag match, me and Bevan against Yensuke, so Big D and Cubo.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we're on the losing end of that match. But I think since March I've been on, I haven't been pinned at Carnage. My tag partners have. But me, on the other hand, I haven't been pinned since March. So, you know, quite proud of that. Yeah, I love being at Carnage.
Let's go to some questions, because we had a few that came in before we went live and a lot that have come through since going live, and I will go through them before the end of this interview. So the first one is James McClintock said, can't wait for the expose on baking. So I don't know what that is. Add a bit of context. If you just want me to skip to the next question, I will do. But what is James McClintock on about there?
No, it's fine. I'm quite the avid baker, and I've gotten quite the reputation for any show or most shows that I'm on, especially No Mercy shows, I will bring bakes with me for the backstage talent and whatever. And James is one of them who wants to have the one, so he'll just dig in. Fair play. Loves a good blondie, because blondies are my favorite things to bake. Loves a good blondie, so I'm dropping him in it now, so he can have a taste of his own medicine. But I'm in my spare time, love bake off. Something that really kind of calms me down, something I really enjoy, and I've done for a long time. Just don't like cleaning up afterwards.
That's the worst thing, the washing up.
Exactly.
Right, so we got the future Let's Play, watching us live on YouTube. Are you looking forward to the future singles matches with other upcoming wrestlers from the South Wales, like James Ellis, Alex Vaughan, Shane Hooker, Kurt Atlas, and Leon Cage? Now, you may have been in the ring with one or two of those names already. We mentioned Shane Hooker and that gauntlet match against James Ellis. But I'd say, you know, a 2023 or a 2024 encounter with some of those talents against yourself, something to look forward to, some mouth-watering encounters there for sure.
Oh, big time. Like, those names are not names to be sniffed at. I wrestle a lot of them already. Well, so I've had Shane Hocker, obviously, we mentioned earlier. Kurt Atlas was actually my first ever wrestling match. I think you had the thought of that earlier in my amazing gear that I had at the time. The other one's absolutely amazing up-and-comers. And love to share the ring with them. Like, Leon Cage is something special. If people don't know about Leon Cage, then they need to. He'll be everywhere very, very quickly.
Check out the interview with Leon Cage from a few weeks ago. You'll get to learn all about the boy. You'll just catch him in action. He's absolutely phenomenal.
The mind on that boy, for somebody who's so young, the absolute mind on him is insane. That he's well above his years, beyond his years. I watch his matches with people backstage, and it's quite depressing how good he is at such a young age.
16.
But also quite,
it's sickening.
It is, but it's quite exciting to see that's where he is now. Imagine where he's going to be in 2, 3, 4 years' time.
Yeah, absolutely. Him and Shane, for sure. And I'd say the one name that jumps out to me from that list, a match that I'd love to see against yourself, would be Alex Vaughan. And I've seen a lot of Alex Vaughan recently. certainly this year, going to be working with him again at Southwest Wrestling tomorrow. But he's a guy that he's no nonsense. He strikes hard. He hits hard. He takes no shit. What sort of a match do you reckon you'll have with Alex?
Oh, I'd love to. I'd love a match with Alex. As you say, he's straight to the point, takes no nonsense.
Yeah.
Straight punch you in the face, you know, without saying a word to you. Love Alex. Would love to share the ring with him and a match. Again, I've been looking for since he kind of burst on the scene, really.
Yeah.
Again, another one who's up and coming and is pretty much everywhere at the minute. And it is really, really good to see, especially for the Welsh scene as well.
Absolutely. What about this one here? And the name won't come up again. It will come up Facebook user, but I believe this is Dan Ellis who sent in a question earlier on. Adam Carter is a force to be reckoned with, should be booked up and down the country. Can't wait to see what 2024 has in store for Adam. Maybe Jay Joshua for the No Mercy heavyweight title. Now, we talk about the heavyweight pro and we talk about the No Mercy heavyweight title. You've obviously got Jay Joshua there. Man, yeah. That's a match that I hadn't immediately thought of, but now it makes perfect sense. The heavyweight pro versus the heavyweight champ. That's pretty good. And to have the heavyweight title over your shoulder, it's got a nice little ring to it.
That'd be something special.
What about yourself? Another awesome pro.
Yeah, and that's something special. That belt would be brilliant to have around my shoulder. You can ask anybody for No Mercy. Jay Joshua is somebody that I've been calling for pretty much since I came back. He is an amazing talent and should be everywhere. Hits hard, works ridiculously hard. I've trained at New Wave a few times and I've seen him there training, and the man's a grafter. I got all the time in the world for Jay Josh. He's the nicest person, but don't get on the wrong side of him, because he will kick you in the face. But yeah, no, that's definitely a match that I really, really want, and one that I am and have been calling for a very long time.
Yeah, absolutely. And certain Oliver Sudden has sent in this. Who's your favourite wrestler, and why is it Oliver Sudden?
Oh, I don't know about that, I don't know about that. I don't know if I have a favorite wrestler at the minute, really. You got me thinking, though.
It's definitely not Scotty Too Hotty, I know that for sure.
Oh, no, not anymore. No, I am. No, Oliver is a favorite of mine. I do have all the time in the world for Oliver, in all fairness.
He's a good guy, yeah, but sure.
Again, somebody who I just don't want him to get in my way, really, because you know, it's just some people are just very likable in wrestling, and Oliver's one of them. But obviously, get him stand in my way of, as you say, the heavyweight title shot or the combat legacy title, and there's only going to be one winner, unfortunately for him, that's going to be Meade. So.
Absolutely. And Bevan sent in this little statement. All jokes aside, we're incredibly lucky to have Adam at No Mercy, and he should absolutely be all around the country. All my fellow promoters should not be sleeping on Adam Carter. So that's pretty cool. Let's just see. Thank you so much. Let's have a quick look, see if we now. I'm just going to have to find the name of this person. Okay. So we got Rhys Baldwin, who sent us this. He's good, and with each show he's improving, can see that clear as day. Currently scratching the surface of his potential. Looking forward to seeing him in 2024. All the potential opponents and promotions. So some kind words coming your way.
Yeah, thank you.
Everybody is high on you and looking forward to what you have to offer. Let's say 2022 was your return year. 2023, yeah. I think, was kind of like a bit of a breakout year for you. 2024 is going to be putting all of them pieces together, putting all of that knowledge and experience from the previous 2 years together, and hopefully hitting the ground running.
Fingers crossed, yeah. And then I'm looking forward to 2024. It has the potential to be my best year and my favorite year in wrestling ever. So yeah, 2024, I'm really looking forward to hopefully being at a lot more promotions, and my face hopefully popping up in a lot more places. So yeah, I'm very much looking forward to what 2024 has in store for me so far.
Absolutely. Very, very soon, we're going to be asking for your socials and where we can reach out and learn more about Adam Carter. Just a quick reminder, we are now in the month of December and I've got another stacked month. And I promise you, I will give myself a couple of weeks off for Christmas. But before then, I've got six incredible interviews coming out in the month of December. Obviously, this being the first one with the heavyweight pro Adam Carter, of course. The next one is next Monday, the 4th of December, with the Queen of Mean herself, former Progress Women's World Champion Lana Austin, coming onto the show. That is an interview you are not going to want to miss. Lana doesn't do many or any interviews, but she will be live on Wrestling with Jonas next Monday at 8 o'clock. Next week, that same week, we've got the Stallion Chris Bronson, Wednesday the 6th, live on Wrestling with Jonas, another individual that doesn't do many interviews. You can get to hear full deep dive with the Stallion next Wednesday on Wrestling with Jonas. And I'm going to bring up this graphic here because this is the remainder of my lineup for December to see 2023 out. Dr. Tom Pritchard, top right there, Wednesday the 13th. Head coach at JPWA over in Knoxville, Tennessee, former WWE superstar, and like I say, one of the very, very best pros and one of the very, very best trainers in the world will be coming onto the Wrestling with Jonas podcast Wednesday the 13th. Then I'll be releasing my second part of Johnny Saint interview Friday the 14th. I think that's Friday the 14th or Friday the 15th. My dates might be getting a bit mixed up here, but that same week, part two of my Johnny Saint interview. And then the following week, I'll be sitting down with Millie McKenzie, one of the very best performers in the UK, one of the best female workers in the world. And Millie McKenzie will be on Wrestling with Jonas in the month of December. But Adam, it's been awesome having you on the Wrestling with Jonas podcast, episode 336. Before we go, where can my loyal listeners and viewers reach out to you, get to learn more about Adam Carter, find some of your footage, or just reach out and say hi if it helps? So I've got your Instagram and X running along the bottom, but tell us where we can find you, my friend.
Yeah, mainly Instagram is my main one. I managed to update pretty regularly, so that's Adam_Carter PW. I'm also on Twitter, or X is now known, Adam_Carter PW. And I'm also on Facebook, so that should be Adam_Carter PW, I think it is. Facebook, Instagram and X.
There we go. So reach out, say hi, follow Adam Carter. But before we let you go, if you've got any final words, any parting words to sign us off this episode of Wrestling with Jonas, to your loyal fans, friends, followers, people that supported you over the years, any words that you'd like to kind of say to anybody out there to sign us off this episode from Adam Carter?
Just thank you for supporting me through 2023, especially, as you say, a little bit of a breakout year, 2022 when I came back. But thank you to all the promotions that I've taken a chance on me, the different training schools, No Mercy, New Wave, I've been Rev Pro, London School, Play Fight, all the different schools that had me there training and sharing their knowledge with me, and all the different media people, like, you know, you got BA Productions, you got yourself for having me on you, Blue Radical, all the people that have photographed me, videoed me, everything, and just giving us a platform really to share what we do and what we do best. Thank you to everyone really for their support through the year.
There we go. And thank you to everybody that sent the questions through. You've really kind of brightened up this episode of Wrestling with Jonas with all your wonderful questions. But the heavyweight pro Adam Carter, you've been an awesome guest on Wrestling with Jonas, and I want to thank you so much for your time. Thank you.
Thank you for having me, Jonas.
You're very welcome.